Two-channel stereo became the recording industry standard in 1958 when the stereo LP disc was introduced. Over the next couple of years, in the course of dozens of recording sessions, the engineers at Capitol Studios figured out how to record the jazz big band in a studio setting. By 1960, they were getting very impressive results. In my recording of the Beantown Swing Orchestra, I used techniques similar to those of the Capitol engineers. I'll show you here a little of how those techniques work. I assume you have heard the full mix of Night and Day. Now I'm going to pick it apart a bit. First, I'll mute John Stevens' vocal track so we can hear the band more clearly. The main band pickup consists of two microphones, one on the sax section, the other on the brass section. These are panned left and right to define the ends of the stereo stage. The rhythm section spot mics fill in details between the main pickups. I'll start near the beginning of the chart and play about a minute and a half. Nelson Riddle's arrangement is quite sparse at the beginning, just the rhythm instruments and a baritone sax, before the string section sneaks in. Then he adds in the full horn sections, but the arrangement never becomes thick or too busy. This is masterful writing, and it definitely makes my job easier. Now let's hear the next segment from the viewpoint of the string section microphones. These are spot mics on each stand of two players, panned left to right in the stereo mix. There is a lot of leakage of the big band into the string mics. This does limit how high I can turn those mics up before it becomes a problem, but it also contributes to the overall sound of the recording. I'm using leakage to get my overall room sound instead of trying to simulate it with a plug-in or an echo chamber. In this case, it helps that the recording was made in a large room with live acoustics. The sax section pickup is a large diaphragm condenser mic set in a figure-eight pattern, with the saxes grouped in front of and in back of the mic. Let's hear what just that mic sounds like. It sounds kind of monophonic, with a lot of leakage from the drums and brass, doesn't it? This is the left side of the main band pickup. Let's hear how it sounds in the context of the full mix. Now let's look at the end of the chart from the perspective of several different pickups, and then we'll put the whole thing together. First, here are the final few measures from the perspective of the two drum microphones. A single overhead mic, which is a Shure KSM-44 set in cardioid pattern, and a Shure SM-7 on the kick drum. As you can hear, this pickup isolates the drums from the other instruments pretty well. It is also a rather one-dimensional sound. But this is only a part of the actual drum pickup. Here's the same passage as heard by the brass microphone, a single AKG C12 VR in a wide cardioid pattern. Lots of drums in the brass mic, which is not surprising, given that the drums were right next to the brass section. This is, essentially, the right side of the main stereo pickup. Here is the same segment as heard by the sax microphone. Again, lots of drums audible in what is the left side of the main stereo pickup. Now, here is how the ending sounds with the full mix of all the microphones in the room. As you can hear, the drum sound is greatly enhanced by being picked up by the sax and brass microphones. We hear the drum kit in the context of the room. And this is true for the other instruments as well. It is this sense of the interaction of musical instruments in a real room acoustic that is lost if you close mic everything in a dead environment, which is a good description of the multi-track recording techniques that were introduced in the late 1960s. Those techniques have their place. But if you are recording a jazz big band, they will not give you the kind of sound we have just heard here. This is the end of this tutorial. Thanks for listening.